talk a little louder because something with these hearing aids, you never know for sure.
Okay, I think we're in good shape. And I'm just going to ask you a couple questions,
okay,
and you just go ahead and talk.
Okay.
I know you joined the hiking club in 1948,
mm-hmm.
but did you hike before that?
No.
Well, what made you want to join the hiking club?
Well, I've always liked to walk, and I don't know, I just, I saw the notice in the PD on a Sunday, and I thought, gee, that sounds like fun. And it was at the corner of Mayfield and, I don't know, I'm not sure, the cross street.
Yeah.
But anyhow, so that was one I could get to easily, you know. And so I went out, and I walked up to this one fellow, and I said, are you leading the hike? He says, no, that fellow is. So I went over to him, and I said, are you the leader? And he said, no, that fellow is. And I found out later that these three fellas, I mean, that's just the way they were, you know.
Who were those?
So, and it was such a nice group. And then afterwards, they said, we're going to go down to Clark's to eat at 150. You know, do you want to come with us? But I didn't go because then I would have to get home after that, you know. But it was such a fun group. It was just great. So then I just gradually, you know, kept going and going and got into it.
Okay. Do you have any favorite hikes or favorite memories?
My favorite winter hike is Stebbins Gulch. And that was before the Arboretum took it over, so we could walk. I don't know who owned it then, but we could walk right down, you know, through the creek. It was beautiful. I love that hike. Summer hikes, I never liked it when it was hot, but everyone was different, you know. I mean, you'd like, one would be good because of the flowers and stuff like that, you know, and then another one would just be the weather or something like that, that, you know, but they were all different. And it was such a jolly group. I mean, we really had a good time, you know.
So. The club used to have as many social events as it did hikes,
mm-hmm.
just about. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we had bowling, and at that time, once in a while, they would have like an evening hike where we went to Lizzie's Brewery once, I remember. And then we would go to Kane Park, and we went to Chagrin Valley Little Theater and Lakewood Little Theater and things like that. And I think we had a swimming party once at, can't think of it. The one down at that Tudor Arms.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And but other than that, it was mostly just Sunday hikes and once in a while an evening hike.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
you did a lot of canoeing too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's when I learned how to paddle a canoe. Yeah, we went down to Portage Lakes. And then after that, a lot of times a group would. It wasn't a scheduled event, but a group would just get together, you know, like we went on canoe trips, and later on, I remember a group, I think there were four or six of them, went down Grand Canyon, you know, hiked down. But they were on their own. It wasn't a scheduled thing. But it was always, it was nice when they got more evening hikes, you know. Usually it was a 10-mile morning and a 5-mile afternoon and a Sunday. And that was it. In fact, now they have more in one day than we had in a month.
That's
but I can see why with that many members. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I can't imagine a hike with 40 people.
Try 100.
100? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow. What about camp?
Yeah, I like camp. I remember we planted those. Are there still any of those evergreen trees in front of the cabin?
Yes.
Are there? Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, I remember planting those. And We planted multiflora roses along the parking lot, which were eventually all removed. And I remember building, when they built the back porch and that extra room back there. But at first, we didn't have water. And then Al Harper dug a well and put in a pump for us. And I guess now they have water in the cabin, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But those camp events were really great. A lot of campfires. And then at that time, the group was so small that when we had like Christmas banquet and stuff, we could have them at the camp, you know, on 40 Mile, like banquet and stuff like that. But boy, many times I said how thankful I was to the people that bought that land. Boy, were they ever looking ahead. It was just great. And
how did you get out to camp? Hmm? How did you get out to camp in those days?
At that time, a few people, not too many people drove, you know. So they would have a meeting place in town, like say, we'll meet at Brook Park and Broadview, and then somebody would, they'd make sure somebody with a car would come there, you know, and pick us up, and then we would go out. Okay. And so it worked out good. And of course, then everybody went on the same hike. I mean, if it was a east or a west side hike, the same people, you know, where now they have to have, well, they couldn't all go on one hike. Right. They have to split it up. And at that time, you could get a bus out to Hinckley. I guess it was a Greyhound. But that didn't last long. They discontinued that. And we spent a lot of time working at camp, putting in a parking lot. I remember when they put in the parking lot. And it was great for overnights, you know. Just didn't have to come back in town if they had something going on out there. I'm so glad they bought that land. Oh, it was really.
I noticed in some of your earlier photos, mm-hmm. some of the women were wearing skirts. Did they actually wear skirts on hikes?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about shoes?
Well, I had leather boots that I wore on a messy hike. Otherwise, you just wore regular shoes. And it didn't, of course, all the warm clothing was a lot heavier than it is now. You know, they didn't have much down in that lightweight polyester stuff. I remember I wore a long, like a trench coat the first hike I went on. You know, I mean, what else? That's what I had. And I remember I felt so conspicuous the first time I went downtown on a Sunday to go to a hike wearing slacks. Nobody wore slacks. But didn't take me long to get used to it, you know. And it was shoes. I think shoes is the main improvement, you know, being much lighter weight than heavy boots, leather boots.
You were involved with the fight to save Whip's Ledges.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about that?
I don't remember too much about it, except I know we had a hike and tried to get publicity for that the day of on Sunday when, I don't know, before they made decisions about it. I'm glad that the governor and, you know, the other people decided against it, because that would have really destroyed Hinkley.
What were they going to do?
Put a freeway through. Yeah. And yeah, that's that fell through. Thank goodness. Just like Shaker Lakes, you know, they stopped that one. Thank goodness.
Yeah. Were you involved in that?
No, I wasn't involved in that one.
Okay.
No. I guess we wrote letters to the governor and some other people, but other than that, I don't think we did too much except just try to talk about it and, you know, get people interested in saving the ledges. That was good. I don't remember very much about that, really.
Okay. What changes besides the size and the number of hikes have you noticed over the years?
The biggest thing that amazes me are the trips. You know, we went to New York and Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and I think in Michigan, in Ohio, of course. And we never had any week-long trips. You know, they were always just weekends. Usually to state parks, and quite often we prepared all our own food instead of eating at restaurants. I remember we had a trip to Allegheny for New Year's, and going into the park, the bus slid off the road. So everybody got out and pushed the bus, and we got it back on the road. And but they were fun. I liked those. They had different accommodations. Some of them were rustic cabins, and I don't think we had anywhere everybody camped out. There was always a building of some type. At Kelly's Island, we stayed in a barn. I remember the girls all on the top floor, the boys on the bottom floor, and everybody came, you know, brought their own bedding and everything. They were fun. And then we had one up to Michigan, and Helen Ballinger was in charge, and she thought if the more you bought, the cheaper it was, you know. So she had a whole case of toilet paper, and I don't know what else, and her brother had to rent a truck to get all the stuff up there. And then when the kids went to prepare one of the meals, they found she had bought about 20 pounds of frozen ground beef in one hunk, and it was still frozen. So they chopped away, and we had dinner, but... it was fun. I mean, one thing, everybody usually was in a good humor about it. I mean, you could laugh about it, and, although it was pretty, some of them weren't too happy, but we did try to keep the price down so that anybody could go. I mean, it wasn't the price that held anybody back. If they didn't want to go, fine, but it wasn't because of the price. But boy, I'm just amazed with these trips now. Oh my gosh, Europe and Canada, and oh boy, that would be great.
Some of your parties were pretty elaborate. Some of your pictures, I saw ladies in gowns.
The Christmas party or the 40-mile banquet. Sometimes they dressed up for those, not when they were at camp, but there was a place on Euclid around 100, Cirrhosis Club, what's it, I think?
Yeah.
Cirrhosis, I'm not sure the name. And we used to have, it was like a dance hall, and we had some pretty fancy parties there. And it was fun making the decorations, and you know, I shocked a lot of people, I guess. One year when I was social chairman, I scrubbed up some boots and put flowers in them and put them on the tables. And I remember Rose Lassie said, I never thought Dorothy would put shoes on the table. But anyhow, it was fun. I mean, we made our own programs and used our own entertainment, you know, which was fun. It was such a diverse group of people, you know, I mean, all different incomes, all different occupations, and but you got to know everybody, because it was only, if you're going to go hike today, everybody that wanted to hike was on that one hike, you know. Of course, now you get to meet a lot of different people, you know, more diverse, you know. But it was really a good group. I really enjoyed it. And that's when I got more, well, I always liked to be outside, but I never paid much attention to wildflowers except violets. And but I learned a lot about that, wildflowers, trees and things, especially from Mr. Bowser. And he had a wonderful collection of slides, and he colored his, of course then it was all black and white, and he colored his own slides. And after he died, I tried to find them, but his son had the collection, and their basement had flooded, and they were all gone. So, but he had a beautiful collection of flowers, wildflowers.
Bowser's name keeps coming up, none of us that are current members knew him.
No.
So if you could talk a little bit more about
him. Well, he was very interested in nature, and he would go around to schools and give lectures and show slides, you know, and he really was knowledgeable about that. And on a hike, he was willing to talk and, you know, explain all these different flowers and what they were. Although they used to call him so lugubrious, Mr. Bowser. he had some odd habits, but he really was the one that got me interested in
plants.
Flowers and plants and things like that.
He was Pathfinder too, wasn't he?
Pardon?
Wasn't he Chief Pathfinder for
yes,
a while?
Yes, I think he was for a while. I don't remember exactly, but he did a lot of hiking. In fact, a group of us went with him out to Colorado. I think there were seven of us went. And he had odd habits, like he would, he'd driving along, and if he'd get sleepy, one girl was afraid he was going to fall asleep, you know. And he said, no, he said, as soon as I hit the gravel, I wake up. You know, I mean, it didn't bother him, bothered her, but not him. So he had some habits that people didn't really like, but he sure had a lot of knowledge. And
we have the Goddard shelter at camp, and none of us know who Charles Goddard was.
Oh boy, yeah, I didn't know him too well. He wasn't hiking very much when I joined. I mean, in fact, I don't even know what he did. It's a living, I don't know. I didn't really know him really well.
Okay. The other name that stands out that we hear stories about, but none of us knew, was Dan Root.
Oh, yeah. He's the one that got me interested in canoeing. And in fact, four different years I went on canoe trips with him up in Minnesota and Algonquin in Canada. He was quite an outdoorsman. He was a hunter, which I didn't approve of, but that's neither here nor there. And he was from West Virginia, but he went to college in Minnesota, and that's when he got interested in the lakes up there. And so he would get maybe 8-10 of us together, and we'd go up for a 2-week canoe trip. And that's when you really get to know people, when you're on your own and everything you need you take with you, and or you do without. So we had a lot of fun. He was, how should I say it? I think he belonged to other outdoor groups, I'm not sure. I know he had a deerskin jacket that he had made, you know, tanned himself. And as far as hunting and stuff like that, I know one year, he offered me a pheasant if I would cook it and he would come over for dinner. So I did. And that's the only time I've eaten pheasant. But he lived by, I don't think he had an apartment. I think he lived with a family in a house. And he was another one that taught me a lot about outdoor life and, you know, being out among animals and woods and stuff like that. And,
Shorty Curlin is another name.
Oh my, he was funny. That's all I can say about Shorty. He was, he raised, he and his wife had Pepperidge kennels out in not Bedford, Oakwood. And he brought one of his dogs on the 40-mile hike, and the dog walked 40 miles with us. But I never laughed so much as I did when Shorty was along. He was a real comedian. And he was a bartender. And yeah.
Of course, there was Joe Mayer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Joe was a good guy. He was, he went with us on, I think he was on every canoe trip I went on. He was a hard worker. He did a lot of work at camp, and a good hiker. And he had a very nice mother. We used to go over to his house, you know, sometimes after hikes and things like that. And he was a good guy. And there was Addie Coverdale. She's another one that of the older hikers. She wasn't doing too much hiking, but she was very active, and she had good sense. I mean, she would think things out and make her decisions. She was a big asset to the club. Let's see.
Bess Simpson?
Yeah. Bess was a school teacher. And Bess had a mind of her own. She was, how should I put it? She did what she wanted to do, let's put it that way.
Okay.
And nothing stopped her. I mean, if she wanted to go someplace, she went, and that was it. She was a canoe. She liked a canoe too. In fact, she rode around with a canoe on her car sometimes. And we had quite a few school teachers in the club. Addie and Bess. And who else was there?
Justine,
yeah. Mel, later on. And, well, there were a few more. I can't think of them offhand.
You also had a bunch of marriages in the club.
Yes.
You ought to know about that pretty well.
Yeah, 1 year, eight of us in the club got married, four couples. And one of them just died in January, Ron Leach. He wasn't a member anymore, but he was the last one of the eight of us to die. And it was I'm trying to think. Then we had families come out. Mark Wald used to come out with their kids, and of course Wilma and Don brought the kids out, and later on the Feelies, and it was a good group.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One thing, we didn't have any really weird people in it, you know. I guess those people don't go for the outdoors. they were all different personalities, but we all seemed to get along pretty well, you know.
John Shade.
Yeah, he was another one that he had his own mind, so to speak, because we all do. I remember one hike on, when you mentioned John, I think it was down around Mohican, I'm not sure. Anyhow, we went on a Sunday morning, and we came across all these nuts on the ground. They were shaped about like my thumb, you know. They were longer than they were around. And he said it was a shellbark hickory. So we picked up a bunch of them, brought home, ate a lot of them. And we planted, Andy and I planted one in a milk, that time came in square cardboard cartons. Remember those, mm-hmm. a gallon of milk. So we planted one and set it out on the balcony of the apartment, and it grew in the spring, it grew up. And it's still growing in my backyard at home.
Oh,
it's a beautiful tree. The neighbors say, oh, what a beautiful tree it is. And it is, never had any nuts because there weren't any others in the neighborhood. But it still is a gorgeous tree. This spring I had to have it trimmed because it was rubbing the houses, the roofs of the houses on both sides of me. And I always think of John Shade because he told us what it was. You know, I had never heard of it before. But my dad, when we took some back and showed them to him, and he said, Boy, I haven't seen those since I was a kid. And they were good, too. Good to eat.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You met Mrs. McCarty.
I met her once.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know there's a discrepancy about what she did for a living? Was she a truant officer? Do you know?
I think so.
Okay.
I think I read that someplace.
I think I read that also, but the other people were saying that she was a librarian. And
I never heard that.
Okay, good.
She could have been, I don't know.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, Effie and Jay were both librarians.
Yeah. No, I had heard she was a truant officer.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, she was out at, I remember she came out to a reunion once, and I met her, and I never met Edna K. Woolley. I think she had died by the time I got in the club. And, yeah, I give those early people a lot of credit, boy, building the, you know, the cabin and all that. Mm. Yeah. How do they fit all those people in the cabin?
We don't.
Oh.
We have to put a limit on how many people can come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I know sometimes it would seem crowded, you know, with just what we had. Yeah. And
we actually bought some covered canopies
so
that we can put
move
tents
outdoors.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
the weather
good,
is
yeah.
nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I always liked events at camp.
Yeah.
I remember when you and Mayors made apple butter one year. Yes. That was so good.
Yeah.
I think camp had a lot to do with the club of keeping together and getting going, you know. That's nice.
Okay. Anything else that you can think of that you would like to record?
No. We really enjoyed our weekend trips, so I mean, can imagine how the group now enjoys those longer trips, because that's when you really get to know people.
That's true.
You know, rather than just walking with them for a while. So I really like those. And, yeah.
You rented buses to take people to the weekend trips, or did you?
I think Allegheny was the only time we rented a bus. Most of the time we just pooled, they pooled cars.
Yeah.
I didn't drive, but they would pool the cars and go. Yeah, I think of going to Ogilby, we had these rustic cabins. And that was about it. They did have an inn then. And now when I see all these Christmas lights and, you know, swimming pools and all that stuff, I haven't been down there since, and I mean, since all that's developed. But,
Well, I'm going to thank you, and I'm going to put this on pause, so if you think of anything in the next few minutes, we can start it over
again,
okay?
Yeah.